Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Wednesday, March 30th, 2011, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. And I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. I have another mighty fine sex edge-ucation show coming your way today. This is, of course, the series where we look at the world of fetish sex, kink, and alternative lifestyles. We touch on topics both familiar and exotic, and we get to chat with prominent educators, practitioners, and advocates of unconventional sexual expressions and lifestyles from all over the world. Now, speaking of prominent educators, practitioners, and advocates, I have two such people as my guests today, and both fit that bill exceptionally well. The founder of Life on the Swing Set, Cooper Beckett, and his ever-so-lovely podcast co-host, Ginger, are here and ready to knock your socks off. We will be discussing a wide range of topics with a focus on consensual non-monogamy. Listen, yours truly has been around the block a time, or six. I confess to being a wee bit jaded around the edges. Okay, so I'm not easily wowed, so sue me. But my guests today have me feeling like a gee whiz, ain't that amazing kid again. And we can hardly get through our interview for all the laughing. Join us. Don't miss all the fun. Be sure to visit Coop and Ginger on their site, lifeontheswingset.com. Ginger has her own blog, gingerandtheprof.blogspot.com. Cooper is on Facebook and Ginger is on Twitter too. You'll find all of these links in today's podcast posting on my site. Today's podcast is brought to you by the ideal sponsor for this kink-filled series, Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You'll find this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, and fetish wear and gear right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Dr. Dick Stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site. Listen, you'll surely enjoy shopping at Dr. Dick Stockroom because it's just so damn fun, and I might say, easy. Yes, Resex fans, you can spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick up all those nasty toys you've been drooling over. You can forget about seedy storefronts in unsavory neighborhoods, and you don't have to worry about leering salesmen scrutinizing what you buy. Why? Because you shop from the privacy of your own computer. That's why. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit my stockroom today. You'll be so glad you did. Okay, on with the show. Welcome, Ginger and Cooper, and thank you for joining us here at drdicksexadvice.com. I'm so glad that we could arrange this time to be together. I know you guys have a real tight, so tight schedule and all, so I'm honored that you have offered to share this time with us. So now that you're here, would you like to say hello to the nice people?
Hello, everybody. This is Cooper.
And this is Ginger.
It's a good thing that your voices sound different, because what would we do if they both sounded the same?
I think it would be frightening if she sounded like me.
Or you like her.
Or I like her, yeah. It would be a different show.
Right. Right.
So since there are two of you, I'd like to do something a bit different today. I'd like to ask both of you to introduce one another to our audience. So let's start with you, Ginger. Would you introduce the charming fellow who is sitting next to you?
Oh, absolutely. So this is Cooper Beckett. He's a super hottie, evangelical swinger.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely. Who started lifeontheswingset.com, and I was lucky enough to become a reader of the website and met him by sending a fangirl email of the site, and one thing led to another, and yes, I was. I think I was the original groupie.
She was our first groupie?
Oh, there you go. A distinction.
It is.
Yeah.
So, Cooper, would you, in turn, introduce the lovely creature sitting next to you?
Oh, well, to go along with the hottie thing, this woman is absolutely amazing, and beyond my wife, she is probably my favorite person in the whole world. She is a wonderful balance to me. She listens to me. She yells at me when I need it, and I couldn't have asked to find a better co-host for the swing set. And she's now, she started in episode 11, and she quickly made it a better place. Yes.
So
and I wish every day that we lived less than 1,000 miles apart.
Oh, that's interesting. So she's not actually sitting next to you, or you?
She's sitting next to me.
Right.
Or on my lap, in fact, probably.
Yeah, even better.
I absolutely love it. So you actually know each other, I mean, like, you've met physically, and or is this just in...
It was very physical.
Ah.
When we met. We got to spend a lovely 36 hours together. But in general, we have to deal with the divide between us.
Good. So that answered actually one of my first questions, and I'm certainly one that our audience must have as well, that you guys are not like actual like partners in terms of like marriage or relationship partners.
No, we are both married to other wonderful people.
Cool.
Excellent. Exactly.
Good.
Who also get along very well.
Oh, good. Well, that's even better because, you know, wouldn't it be awful if the other was happening? So by way of opening our discussion to the topic at hand, I'd like to ask you guys to take us on a spin around lifeontheswingset.com, a website by and for the sexually open. There is so much deliciousness there, and who better to tell us about it than you guys?
Awesome.
So how long has the site been around?
It just experienced its year birthday the end of January.
No kidding. And Cooper, you are the founder, yes?
I am.
Good.
I am.
So, you guys do podcasts. Let's talk about that. Tell us more.
Well, I was inspired because there are a lot of swinger podcasts.
Yes.
But most of them are "This is what we did this weekend" type podcasts, and so when I looked at where the market could use some improvement, the swinger podcast listener market, as it were, I thought, well, there should be something more akin to a panel discussion show. And I'd hosted panel debate shows on radio in college, and I thought, wouldn't it be interesting if we did that, but talked about swingery issues on it?
Cool.
And so that was our first few shows were very scattered, and we tried to cram way too much information into them, and that's why I don't recommend to anyone listening to episodes 1 and 2, because they're just not to the quality that I prefer. But then once we sort of figured out our style and niche, and that we're not a show about, I mean, we're all about, this is our personal observations of the swinging lifestyle, because we don't want to suggest that we are any more knowledgeable necessarily than anyone else embarking on this strange lifestyle. But we don't dwell on the very specific ideas of this is what we've done. It's more about the concepts, the ideas behind the philosophy of what we do and why we do it.
And how many podcasts do you have?
We are putting up our 34th this week, I believe.
Wow. And Ginger, you joined on podcast 11?
I did.
Was it easy for you to do? I mean, you have a wonderful voice for this.
Well, thank you so much. It was fun, and it was an experiment, and I love to talk about the issues. My partner and I do a lot of thinking and talking and analyzing, and when I heard Life on the Swing Set, I loved that they were doing some of that,
right,
and that they were putting out their perspectives. And again, like Coop said, it's not we know how to do it, so listen to us.
Right.
It's more about, wow, this is an amazing journey, and we just kind of put our thoughts out there for it to be a catalyst for other people to think about their own perspectives.
Right.
And so it was fun. It was the first podcast was a threesome.
Mm-hmm. and of course, don't you know?
With Dylan and Cooper and myself. So
and Dylan is another one of your followers, or
No, Dylan is actually a friend of mine locally.
I see. Good.
And he was on board from the beginning of, yeah, we should do something like this, because we both felt that there wasn't anything like it, really. We are believers in, if you look at the market and you see something you want and it doesn't exist, well, you should be the one to make it then.
I totally agree with that. Oh, my God.
But that episode was very unique, and it's never happened since, but we start every episode with something called business, where we can bring up anything that doesn't necessarily fit in with the topic but could be talked about for 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And we began to talk about a number of political issues with sexuality and gay marriage, and that was the entire episode suddenly.
Uh-huh.
We got to 20 minutes in, and I realized, well, we're probably not going to talk about our topic today. So let's just go with this.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's really very creative. And like when I'm setting up my podcast, that, as you know, because you've been on the receiving end of this, I send out topics that we might discuss or questions that we might address, but I don't really want to know what my interviewee mind is on this. I want to discover right along with our audience.
Well, I think that's a fabulous way to do it, and we try to structure our shows a little bit, but not too much.
Right.
We'll all edit the same document, saying, "Okay, here's a topic I'd like to discuss," and we'll take breaks midway through the show to just say, "Okay, well, where would you guys like to go with this?" I think that fluidity is a little bit of what allows it to be spontaneous and fun.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. Mm-hmm. So you also have a page on your site titled Articles, and that is chock full of fascinating columns about sex, my favorite topic, mind you.
Excellent.
I assume that you have a particular perspective and editorial slant in the presentations that you make. Am I right?
Well, I tend to okay, almost any article that I feel is well written, as long as it feels positive,
right,
about sexuality to me. I don't want to judge people's perspectives in any,
right,
way, because I know that I don't like it when I feel like my perspective on sexuality is being judged. So I try to give the readers as much information as possible, preferably from a non-monogamous standpoint.
Right, and you actually invite people to bring you stuff?
Oh, yeah. I'm always interested in hearing submissions or ideas for articles. It's very important to me that I continually get new ideas into the site.
Right.
Because that keeps us from just being, Cooper's opinions on swinging, which nobody really wants to hear.
I know I don't. So I'd like to dig a little deeper into that, if I might. And maybe the best way to do that is to discuss some of the more recent articles that you have posted. One that jumped out at me is titled, "What If His Is Much Larger Than Mine? His and Her Perspectives on Cock Size and Swinging." That's loaded. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's such a big idea and issue.
No pun intended.
Before you,
yeah.
Indeed, before you begin swinging, I would say probably even the most endowed person starts panicking at the idea of pulling it out and having a bigger one pulled out next to you.
Do women have the same thing about tits, so to speak, as it were?
I would say women have it about their entire bodies from head to toe.
whereas we men are just more concerned with that one specific area.
Right.
Yeah, bigger, smaller, curvier, flatter. It's always a concern, I think, when people start disrobing in front of one another, that there will be judgment and something, you know, theirs will be lesser than the person's next to them.
And that's got to be somewhat disconcerting for people who have never really exposed themselves, both literally and figuratively, to anyone other than their primary partner. I mean, it's one thing to let it all hang out, you know, for my husband and or wife or partner or whatever. It's another thing, you know, to do it in front of relative strangers.
Absolutely. And in terms of, again, going back to the content on the site, it's really being able to, it helps people be able to kind of peek over the cliff and see what's there and realize that, wow, people have done this. People do this on a regular basis. They've not only survived, but they've grown as people, perhaps.
Right.
I mean, how amazing. And learn that, you know, go for it and see what happens, and that it won't be the worst thing in the entire world. And I, you know, where the article goes, or where, you know, I certainly go when it comes to body size and cock sizes, you know, not everybody will think you are the sexiest thing alive, but that's okay, because you don't think every single person in front of you is the sexiest person alive. And as long as we allow ourselves the space to just enjoy ourselves and gather as much pleasure as we can, just don't worry about it. Let it be, and know that we're all in that same boat.
And that goes back to the mission statement of the website in the first place. I wanted to create a place that, unlike a lot of what I'd seen about swinging, was an open hand saying, come on, I'll show you this cool thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to be okay, and you're not a weirdo, and you're not a pervert for wanting this, because...
Well, you are, of course, but it's a wonderful thing. It's a really wonderful thing.
We get into the discussion of what the word normal means a lot, so yeah, that's true.
I love it. I absolutely love it. So, one of the things that was so refreshing about seeing that title, that column title, was that would be one of the first things that come into my... Like, I'm a gay man. I've done lots of, you know, groupy kind of gay sex and stuff like that. But I remember, you know, when this was, you know, a relatively new thing for me, and I was very self-conscious. I mean, and God knows gay men are so cock centric, you know, that it's just like, oh, he's got a pretty face. Oh, look at his dick. Bad luck. You know, and
right.
So it's really tragic. And I never see that kind of thing brought up, you know, on other sites. And it's got to plague, you know, 90.9% of the people, right?
I'd say it's that and the erectile dysfunction issue.
Yeah.
Those are the two biggest for males going into the lifestyle.
Right.
I mean, 9 times out of 10, you're probably going to fail on the first attempt at a full swap.
Yes.
I can't tell you the number of guys I've talked to who just could not close the deal that first opportunity.
Yeah.
And to say what full swap means, that's when you actually have intercourse with the other partner for the first. And so talking about that is huge, because there are a lot of things in the swinging lifestyle that just seem to be unspoken.
Yes.
You know, bisexual males, erectile dysfunction, and the cock size thing. I mean, there's only so many times you can see the I'm looking for a big cock on the swinging profile pages and wonder, okay, now I know mine is pretty big because I've compared it to the other guys, but is it big enough to go with what you consider a big cock? I mean, there's 8 inches and over clubs on the swinging websites that we go to.
Yeah,
so you wonder, well, first of all, how many of those guys are actually 8 inches plus?
Are those and internet inches? Like real
exactly. Or are they using the centimeter side of the ruler?
Or are they measuring from their asshole? Or what?
So, I mean, when we talk about this stuff, we want to make sure that we are addressing stuff that even when people won't really talk about it, even when it'll cause controversy, because it is important that guys hear, you know what, it's okay if you can't get hard the first time or the second time, because it happens. It happens to us all. It's a community. We are a fraternity of guys who have concerns about the size of our dick and whether or not it will function properly. You know, so why not just acknowledge that and be the brothers to comfort each other?
Is there talk about, well, who cares if you have a stiffy or not, because you have a mouth and hands and intellect and imagination?
That's usually where I come in.
It's so good. It's so refreshing because, you know, if men talk amongst themselves, God knows I know this, it's all about, you know, give them a pep talk and, you know, you'll overcome this, or here's a little blue pill, or, you know, do this or do that. And, you know, but it can all be just short-circuited by, you know, so what? You know, right. There's other things to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely there is. And I mean, it's one of those things that I hear the two of you talking about all of the energy that goes into the consideration of, you know, cock size and if the cock works. And it's just fascinating because it's the last thing that I'm thinking when I'm in the midst of a date. I'm just not focused there. And I think some of that has to do with looking at the lifestyle, the non-monogamous lifestyle, as much more than just sex. And so certainly great sex is a great part of the deal, but great sex certainly does not hinge on a huge hard cock. I mean, great sex.
First of all, women don't have big hard cocks, and they enjoy lots of really good sex. So
that's
how do they do it? You know, and can us men learn something from women, you know, about, you know, how they pleasure themselves and one another, and wouldn't it be grand if we picked up on some of that?
Well, and that's why we have toys.
Exactly.
So in the event that you cannot penetrate, but their penetration is requested, there's all sorts of utilities for that.
Exactly.
Like the Enjoy 11, right, Ginger?
Yes. And
I
creativity.
Just reviewed that. I just read that on my site.
It's tremendous, but you could kill someone with it.
Yeah.
You know, love them or leave them or knock them dead, whatever.
Now I won't be able to make a coherent sentence. That up.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about Ginger. I can just send her off into a land of make-believe ecstasy, and she just goes.
And, you know,
it's lovely.
Check in with us later, Ginger.
Yeah, exactly. I'll try to be quiet.
So another interesting column that you wrote is titled "Why Won't Anyone Respond? Help for Your Swinger Inbox."
Oh.
That must be really important too. I mean, I just like there must be a million things that folks potentially can do wrong that will be off-putting to other folks.
Spelling.
Oh, yes.
Spelling is very...
Spelling and grammar is so hot.
Yeah, don't spell cock, C-O-K. I mean, and this is the elitist, snobbish guy in me, but if someone spells more than three words wrong in the first paragraph, I'm done.
Especially if the person is saying, you know, I'm really interested in your mind.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I mean, this is a huge thing. Since most of our interaction, if we are not club people, most of our interaction with couples starts with an email sent on a lifestyle website.
Right.
And what becomes difficult is we as swingers all say, you know what? A response saying no thank you is better than no response. Yet we all are guilty of not responding at times.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you don't want to reject someone out of hand, but you also know, I'm just not attracted to that picture.
Right.
But we've had people where we're not attracted to their pictures, and we run into them at a party, and they're just the most attractive people in the world.
Right.
And
sure.
It's because you hear them talking, or you see a moving picture is far different sometimes than that still. So it's all about figuring out how to make your profile better, how to make your interaction with other people, your emails to them better, so it's not just like a generic, hey, I saw your pictures, maybe we could hook up. You need to be able to say why you liked their pictures, why you liked their profile, why you think they might be a good match for you.
Sure.
Because then it's interactive.
You need to know what you want and what you are seeking first and foremost. And then at the same time, I mean, it's dating. We're dating people. Like, that's exactly, we have this whole other paradigm that, you know, it's swinging or it's consensual non-monogamy, and people don't really try on for size the fact that you're just dating again. So you wouldn't, you always...
And if you were bad at it in the first place, you might be
well,
bad at it now.
Point. Okay, touche. So, yeah, there you go. Put your best foot forward.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's what it boils down to there.
Again, you know, in comparison to the gay subculture, where, you know, hookup sites and profile sites and whatnot abound, even there, you know, it's less likely that people are going to respond to, you know, show me your dick kind of things, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, I want to fuck you kind of thing. You know, I mean, there's got to be some personhood behind, you know, the thing swinging around in your pants, or, you know, the rack, you know, bouncing around in your blouse.
Yeah, agreed.
Absolutely.
So is your advice to folks, you know, to make it a little bit more broad than just, you know, a sexual innuendo?
Oh, definitely. Unless you have a really fucking good innuendo.
I had a
you
fucking
know?
Good innuendo. I don't know what happened to you.
Because that could be really hot. You know,
yeah.
You send a really descriptive thing that shows you were paying attention to my profile.
Right.
That you're not just sending me something that's sexy just because you think that's the way to go.
Right.
All our profiles say stuff specifically about us,
right.
You know, and I'm far more interested in engaging in people who clearly looked and saw, hey, these two are geeks. Let's interact with them on a geek thing, and let's start talking about, you know, Joss Whedon television series, and that's the way to go with me.
Right.
You know, you don't have to go all sexy if you can, you know, quote Firefly.
Yeah. I want to get more into that in a bit, but one more thing that I want to address, and you guys already have a wonderful article about it, and it's titled "Facing the Pressures to Remain Silent: Living as Closeted Swingers or Coming Out." Let's talk about that, because that's got to be a big bugaboo for lots and lots of people.
Ginger, why don't you go on that?
Oh, it is. It's definitely a struggle. I mean, the language that friends use, I mean, you'll probably hear some of it as Coop and I continue to talk, that, you know, you have your vanilla life and you have your swinger life.
Yes.
And everyone does it differently. Certainly, there's a mutual respect among those in the lifestyle that you don't say a word until you know otherwise. And, you know, especially if you're swinging in your local community, you may see folks at the grocery store. You may see folks out and about at other, you know, at a restaurant. And
parent-teacher conference.
Certainly. Exactly. So you just do your best to maintain that if you're closeted, which, you know, at this point, the consensual non-monogamy world is generally closeted.
Yes.
And that is how people are choosing to move about the world at this point. I hear over and over again, though, among conversations with swinger friends, because we tend to be very good friends with our swinger friends, almost better friends with our swinger friends than our vanilla friends, simply
That's
because
true.
We get to share more.
Yes.
And I hear it over and over again, just even this a weekend or two ago, friends lamenting, if we could only just put it out there,
right.
we wouldn't have to carry this anymore. And
it is
why
a burden,
would,
is it not?
It mm-hmm. is. It absolutely is.
Because you want to explain. You know, when people ask you, you know, one of the first things we noticed is we weren't hanging out with our vanilla friends much. Because they were simply, you know, we discovered this new fun thing mm-hmm. that we can't do with them.
Yeah. Besides, and they are often really judgmental. And it comes out in conversations.
Yeah.
You know, if you're sitting in, like, again, you know, the comparison between being a gay man, I mean, I don't have to identify myself to everyone, but, you know, if I'm in a conversation and somebody starts denigrating alternative lifestyles, I mean, like, mm-hmm. what do I do? Do I just sit there and eat it? Or do, you know, do I say something? Or and if I say something, is that tantamount to coming out?
Well, I mean, you have to decide which direction you want to go with it. Personally, we are out with all of our friends because I saw very early how different we were now. This lifestyle changed us.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to explain to them why we were different.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt, you know, we lost several friends because
right.
of this.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't regret telling them. Because if they can't handle this, then I don't want to be their friend.
Right. Because
and
basically they're not handling you at all. Because
right.
they're handling an image of you or what they suspect you are, but not who you really
and
are.
And swinging saved our marriage.
Interesting.
So, you know, the alternative was getting divorced.
Yeah.
So if they can't handle that we're still together and happy,
right.
I don't understand why I should spend my time with them at that point.
Sure.
So true. Goodness.
It's complicated, and you know certainly.
But life is complicated. I don't know where people get off and saying it's really simple because there's nothing really simple about it. I mean
right.
I've never encountered anything particularly simple about being a human, being a sexual human in a sex negative culture. I mean it's just
absolutely
about it that's easy. Absolutely.
Good that is true.
So you also have on your site a slew of links that include your own personal blogs. So let me ask about that. Why the additional sites?
Well, Jim, that's Ginger and the Professor.
Well, certainly. I was going to say there are lots of great perspectives out there. One of the things we talked about around the podcast is that Life on the Swing Set has a different format, and one of the things that's interesting is each blog tends to have its own format. I mean, there is the Kiss and Tell blog, there are the Kiss and Tell blogs, and there are the We're Going on This Journey, You Can See It from the Start blogs, and, you know, in particular, my partner and I, he's known as the Professor, so Ginger and the Professor is our blog, and we've been blogging for a number of years, just putting our own perspectives out there, just because it's fun for us.
Right. Right. And they all come under the big banner of Life on the Swing Set, yes?
Well, Ginger blogs both on her own and under the Swing Set banner.
I see.
We do have a lot of bloggers. When I see a blog that particularly interests me, I'll contact the blogger and see if they'd like to either contribute to us occasionally or just fold their blog into the Swing Set. And I've had a few bloggers who move themselves over to the Swing Set. And I like having, and like Ginger was saying, it's all very different formats and perspectives.
Right.
And I love having, you know, you can go and read blogs by two poly girls.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can go and read the blogs by the newbie swingers.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can go read the blog by the unicorn trying to find her way with couples.
Mm-hmm.
Or the experienced couple who just had their first full swap after having soft swap for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's fascinating for me to read these, and I love that you can get them all in one place, because most of the time it's really difficult to find interesting blogs. There's this din out there of meaningless blogs, and you have to sort through it in order to find the worthwhile. So to be able
that.
To bring...
You've created this clearinghouse, basically, then.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing that I think I can do for the community, is to bring as much as I can find under one roof.
Excellent. So holy cow, you guys, I'm just looking at my clock and I see that our time for today is, well, overtime, basically, because we don't know when to shut the fuck up, apparently. But listen, I'm just getting started with you. I got, like, three more pages of questions to ask, and I hate to prevail upon you, but could you possibly come back next week and join us again?
Oh, I think that could be arranged.
Oh,
absolutely.
Even with your really tight schedule?
Yeah.
Well, hey, we're always up for talking more sex.
Oh, all righty then. So, but before we go, would you give us your website address again and tell us what we can find there?
Tell them in a sexy voice, Ginger.
Oh, boy.
Don't be feel like you're on the spot.
Okay, I won't. I won't feel like I'm on the spot at all. So the website is lifeontheswingset.com, and you'll find all manner of sexy things there, whether you want to find advice or something to laugh at, something to smile at, something to, or you're looking for a sex toy to buy. So definitely...
Too.
You can find that too. Exactly. LifeOnTheSwingSet.com.
So we will be visiting you in cyberspace in the interim. Have a good week, you guys. Chat at you soon.
You too.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
What a delightful show. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week at this time for part two of my conversation with Ginger and Cooper and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom. Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't, I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really naughty for yourself or the other pervs in your life. I mean, if you can't find what you're looking for in my stockroom, you just better call off the search right now. Dr. Dick has put together a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Take a look at my sex toy review site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. It's chock full of swell gift-giving ideas. Look for the Dr. Dick Stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site. Say, would you like to become a sponsor for one or more of my sex advice podcasts? As you know, I plug a product or service at the beginning and end of each show, just like I'm doing now. Each podcast has its own posting on my site along with the name of the podcast sponsor and a banner for the product or service. The beauty part of this unique opportunity is that once a sponsor's ad is included in a particular podcast, that sponsor is embedded there forever. Your sponsorship also underscores your social conscience. Your marketing dollars will not only go to promote your product, but you will be doing so while helping to disseminate badly needed sex education and sexual enrichment messages. Simply put, you just can't get a better bang for your advertising buck. For further information, contact me through my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.